What's ghee?
Well, good morning, Pat. Can I just first commend you on your courage for inviting me on live national radio to talk about ghee? And I've brought some in today, so I'm so chuffed that you volunteered to smell my ghee as well. It's in a pot here. I made it last night. And I want you to tell me what
this is a radio first.
what notes you get from it. Because it does, in my mind, it smells sensational. It is a sister or a second cousin of butter. All the difference between butter and ghee is just the heat treatment. So tell us, Pat.
It smells a bit rank to me.
Oh.
This lad had got a wee puncture, so he says, we're going to help him out and we're going to change the tyre for him. Elderly couple, we're going to help them out, you know what I mean? There's plenty of men here, so we gave them a dig out.
So there's about 6 or 7 Irish fans here actually changing the spare tyre, putting on the new tyre. Fantastic stuff.
Great stuff altogether, yeah. You want to see us changing a light bulb.
That's the difference between Irish and English fans right there. English fans will burn the bar down and we'll change a wheel.
Monsieur dit que les Irlandais, ils sont très gentils.
So you're very pleased with them?
Oui, merci beaucoup.
We've been speaking to women all across the country who've been affected by this abuse, and here's just one of them. Her name is Saoirse. Now, her story will resonate with so many people across the country, men and women as well. She was a single mother of one when she met the man who she would eventually marry and who subjected her to severe physical, mental and financial abuse.
I was a very strong, independent woman. I had my own job, own car, everything in perfect, going on holidays. But we went out to dinner, and during the course of the meal, I poured out a glass of wine from the wine bottle and offered him a glass. And he put his head down and went, "Don't you ever do that again. You've made a show of me. No real lady would pour her own wine. And thank God nobody's here to see you." And I was just shell-shocked. I didn't realise I was so bad-mannered. God, there's something wrong with me. And I never, ever poured myself a glass of wine in company again. That was the subtlety of how he started undermining me. So eventually we got married. One night when I was 5 months pregnant, he grabbed me up by the wall with his arms around my throat, then banged my head against the wall, pushed me on the bed, left bruises all over my arms from where he was pushing me. And the whole time he was shouting at me saying, "I'm only doing this because I love you so much."
The enduring image of the early hours of this morning for me, I was at the Hillary Clinton rally, which had been 15,000 strong, if not more, out on the street and in the Javits Center. And the energy, as the energy was going from that, as people were leaving, I saw the Trump rally on the screen and the red hats came out. And everyone on the floor, they were obviously distributed, put their Make America Great Again hats on. And this was when the vice presidential candidate with Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, was struggling to hold Virginia, his home state. And that is, for me, is an enduring picture and image of me standing on this closed avenue in New York. And the moment I realized Donald Trump has it.
You made this journey on a very particular day last year.
I did, last year, when the young lad was mistakenly shot in Charter Street. My mother actually is a community development worker down here, and she called me, and I was coming over from Trinity College, so I was coming through the IFSC into Charter Street. It was actually like coming through a portal. It was like two worlds which just didn't mix in such close proximity. On the IFSC, there was just people going about their everyday lives, people in suits, people going to work, and then 30 seconds down the road, there was chaos. People sobbing on the side of the road, the guards, dozens of guards down, people all over the place, and it was so pronounced, the difference. And I don't think there's anywhere else in Europe where you'll see the line between poverty and affluence so readily pronounced. I mean, just
I'm walking along here. I mean, I'm looking at razor wire on the top of some of the fences. I'm looking up at a very high wall, but on top of it there's even netting. I don't know what the idea of that is, but it's some sort of security, I imagine.
The Air Corps logged an emergency request from the Irish Coast Guard to provide an aircraft to conduct a search for a missing helicopter. I know through my sources that the Air Corps had to scramble and ring around to get people in, apart from the crew, They had to get ground crew in. They had to get air traffic control in.
This is after the R116.
Shane, they had to get people in to turn on the bloody lights on the runway, for God's sake. Like, this is down to, and this is the reason something like this only comes up. It only comes up when there's a tragedy, when things go wrong. We're not blaming anybody for this, but a lot of people in the Air Corps and the military at the moment are being texting in here at 53106, and keep them coming in to us. You tell us and we'll tell them, because this is very important, that this is all down to the Department of Defence not having who have responsibility for strategic human resources. They don't give a damn. They've been cutting back our defence forces for years. There's been a crisis unfolding behind the barrack walls, because all of their whole priority is to save money.
Kids are not allowed out to play, you know, that kind of way. They have no life. Like, they're stuck between four walls and they've no friends. They've nowhere to go, you know. They're constantly upset. You're bringing them to playgrounds. You're bringing them out constantly. Your money only goes so far.
You've got four kids and one on the way. Your son, he got upset. I'm sorry to upset him. He's going to be okay, isn't he?
He knows that this is not going to be forever. Like, that one day we will get a house anywhere. You know, I don't care what area. I just want a home anywhere, just a place where my kids can live like everybody else's kids. Have a life, have a childhood. That's all I want.
I could let bitterness and anger eat me up. I could have taken to my bed. I could have refused to come out. I could be, you know, hiding away. I've chosen not to, because it's not in me, but it's not going to be good for me. It's not good for those around me. So you talked about the victory yesterday. To be honest, for me, the victory every day is getting up and getting out into the world. Yesterday was just a ticking the box, but it is about keeping going and knowing that I need to look after me for my sake, for Owen and Rory's sake, and keeping their memories alive, both through me and in me. But, you know, I could, and I did spend a lot of time thinking about Sand. How could he? What did he do? What brought him to that? How could he not have spoken to me? You know, I thought we had a good relationship. I thought we had a good marriage. Why didn't he confide in me? Why didn't he talk to me? But I go down that route and I will eat myself up, because there are no answers. There's no way of ever knowing what was really and truly in his mind at that point in time, and why he couldn't have turned to me. So I suppose for me, I try and flip it now and go, right, well, what can I do now? I can't change what has happened, and despite everything, I cannot bring Owen and Rory back.
I don't know where you get your strength from, Kathleen. It's still raw enough 3.5 years and every day, I'm sure the first thing you think of in the morning when you wake up, when you open your eyes, it's of them.
I will say it. Now this sounds over. They're in my mind all the time. They're not always the very first thing, and I think that when it comes to something, and particularly when you lose a child. You think that you never, there's almost a guilt when they're not the first thing that you think of.
The people that would come across would come into my yard at night. They would build a fire. They would make tortillas. And they would bring me my breakfast in the morning. But you did not feel any kind of a fear that they were coming. I have had an illegal sitting in that rocking chair there. I have a ceramic studio at the other end of the house, and I used to work there till about 4 o'clock, and then I'd come in and start getting supper, and I smelt after shave lotion, and I thought, oh, my son-in-law's home, you know, so, He was standing right there. He had come into my house, gone into my bathroom, washed, shaved, everything else, and was just standing there watching the Border Patrol go by. I have a different outlook, having gone through World War II, and I refuse to be afraid that I cannot live my life. We have those mirrors there. They're not for decoration. But ever since that gentleman was in here, I can come in, or my family can come in and look and see if there's someone in that corner there. Did you see the coolers? I will feed them. We fill them up every night. We put water in one and sodas in the other, and we put ice in there every night for anybody that comes down there. They can go ahead and... We always know when there's a lot of people come across because it's usually empty in the morning. Mr. Trump, I will even feed him if he will come down here and talk to the people. That wall is not going to stop him. If it's 20 feet high, they're going to get a 21-foot ladder, right?
Our technical solution has always been that we've advocated that the most effective way of doing this is through metering.
No, but if you sign on the dotted line with Pádraig Ó Céada and the rest of the committee that there's going to be some use of the 2007 Act, some fines, maybe less than $5,000, you still don't know how you're going to find people. Isn't this just an utter and absolute capitulation and cop-out?
No, absolutely not, because what we are preserving, and we believe we're preserving it absolutely correctly, is the principle of having a charge for excess usage.
Do you think they're goms in Europe? Do you really think, are they goms in Europe, Colm, that they will look at this and see that it really is in the spirit and the letter of the polluter pays? You must be joking. Well, they'll think we are having them on.
Thomas Slab Murphy was mentioned in the Spotlight programme last night. He was identified by Spotlight as the man who wanted Dennis Donaldson killed, and that he came to you, this was the claim made in the programme last night, seeking your sanction for that murder. We all know he's currently serving a prison term for tax evasion. You in the past have described him as a good Republican. Do you still think he's a good Republican?
Well, first of all, and Cheryl, let's not play tabloid politics with this. It's a lie to suggest that Tom Murphy or anybody else came to me. So let's be clear about all of this. And please, I did this program in good faith because I think that you're a good broadcaster. Let's not be involved in nonsense, please.
But can you answer the question if you don't mind? Do you still think he's a good Republican?
I said, there you go. Of course I do. Why wouldn't I?
And will you meet him, Jerry, when he's released from prison next year?
Sarah, please, if you ever want me to do the program again, please deal with these issues.
I think it's a fair enough question, Jerry. You've described him as a good Republican. I'm just wondering, will you meet him next year when he comes out?
I understand what you are saying. But let me say this. You told me this is the most scurrilous allegation that could be made against anybody, and then you reduce it to nonsensical questions, please.
Okay, so you don't want to answer that particular question?
I don't think it's relevant to the reason I come on this programme.
This poor handsome man was struggling with his business. Worse, there were rumours, for some reason, he was underperforming in the bedroom.
I can't see people that watch porn.
No, me neither.
Personally, no.
It's too boring. After the brothers, yeah.
Maybe the best is yet to happen.
Or the worst.
Or the worst.
I'm beginning to see the appeal of it, though. Yeah. At 11 or 12 o'clock, you know, whatever time of night, when people are in the humour, you know. That it might help things.
Might move things along.
Yeah, I think so, yes. I can see the appeal of that now. But it's all very pleasant so far. Yes, it's raunchy stuff, surely. How long do you reckon you could watch this for now? Not long.
Not long. You'll probably get bored after a while.
Yeah.
We all like to celebrate our culture, and I'm sure the Catholics and all do as well.
And you've got a little bit of an Irish flag there, the orange of the Irish flag.
Yeah.
And why?
Because it's seen on a bonfire and going to burn it later.
And why are you going to burn it?
Because they like this flag.
Why don't you like it?
Because they don't like ours.
They don't like ours, they burn ours too.
And what's your flag?
Union Jack.
But the orange represents the Orangemen in the Irish flag, though. Does that mean that you're burning your own culture by burning the orange bit?
No, our flag's red, white, and blue. There's a scream white orange.
Let me tell you this, Deputy Coppinger. You weren't elected. I'm absolutely certain you weren't elected by the atheists of your constituency. Because if the atheists of your constituency voted for you, you probably would have lost your deposit. The reason you got elected was many Christians and Catholics voted for you because they believe in your political beliefs, not your religious beliefs. And the least you could do is pay them the compliment of standing up and just for 30 seconds keeping your mouth zipped about the kind of claptrap you talk every day.
We're used to having rescue choppers in the village. Local people are used to seeing rescue choppers in the village. They come in at all hours of the night. They wake you up in your sleep, but you always know that they're doing good. Sometimes they come and they rescue our own people, our own neighbours who are in trouble at sea. Today, last night, today, we're looking for them.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, it's okay. You know, there's a family connection here with the lighthouse. We've grown up here. Our parents have grown up here. As kids, we idolised these people. They let us sit in the helicopters, you know, and to think that, you know, they've given the ultimate sacrifice.
Texter has texted in to say, let's take a moment to think about the recent passing of the King of Thailand. So let's do that. Okay, moving on.
Domino's Pizza gave a pizza to whoever scored the first try. I think it was the first try in Thomond Park. And Foley got a hat-trick, just to make sure. And I remember thinking along those lines, you're dead right he would. And he hadn't scored for a while. So he'd a wicked dry sense of humour. The fact that we're talking about him in past tense is, yeah, is unbelievably surreal, actually. I think... I don't know how long it'll take for the funeral. These things take a period of time. It's trying to get those nice memories out again and those fond memories and to try and smile a little bit at the moment, if it's possible.
The point about the Le Mans, I suppose, is the for people who are maybe unfamiliar with the story, in your deposition in the SCA case in 2006, you said that Greg had an alcohol and drug problem, and ultimately Trek chooses you over him, and a $20 million a year revenue business disappears from the Le Mans life. So did you ever think about making financial restitution to the Le Mans?
So I need to make financial restitution because I had nothing to do with Trek's decision to do that.
Really?
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. Really?
Absolutely not.
Okay, because it seems weird that they'd turn their back on an American cycling hero like Greg LeMond without their star performer, you, who is on the verge of making them billions, granted, but you had no input. No,
I'm answering your question. I mean, you don't have to believe me. I answered the question. If you want me to say it another way, so that you're happy.
No, I don't. We understand exactly what you're saying. There's no communication issues there. You did go after Greg LeMond after he said in that interview with David Walsh that if you were doping, it was the greatest fraud in history. That scene, I think, where you're actually reading the paper is in the Alex Gibney movie. So there was a personal sense of anger towards him, which maybe leads to, you know, some of the language that you use. You don't think you need to make financial restitution, obviously. That's clear.
No, I don't think I do. And here's the thing, Garrett, is I sat in that room, not only with Greg and Kathy, I sat in that room with his lawyer, and with my lawyer, and there were plenty of other people in that room, and I apologized to them. Nope, never at any time did Greg and or Kathy say, hey, we feel like you owe us financially, right? And I don't need to get into the details of the conversation. The most important part was that I was sorry for my actions, I was embarrassed by my actions, and I apologized to them, and they accepted the apology.
Okay, I don't think they did accept the apology. It seems that's certainly...
You weren't in the room. What are you talking about?
Well, I've got pretty good sources.
Oh, okay. Okay, Superman.
I'm told there were bonfires last night and it was an amazing night. Can you tell us about last night?
The amount of illegal documents that got burnt was unbelievable. The usual.
We're going to come down and do a show in Skibbereen.
And bring coppers down, which I
There's a situation where you could have me at 10, Farrell at 12 and Halfpenny at 15, all scrapping about who's going to take the kicks. So, look, it's up to Neil Jenkins. So you definitely probably pick a Welsh fella.
There's one last thing that I really want to talk to you about. This is a remarkable story up to that point, and I think a lot of people are right behind you in the recovery that you've made. I remember watching the Monaghan game in 2015 and seeing the mouthing that they were doing and thinking, this is an unbelievable display of fortitude by you, because I kind of had an idea what they were doing. I kind of knew what they were at, and it was so stupid of them to get dragged into that, and you guys win the game and crush their dreams, and actually that was their one chance of being really successful. And I remember thinking at that stage, this guy's really got his life back on track, and I really hope it works out for him. And it's exactly the same with the book, until you come to this incident with the 15-year-old, and I'm like, I can't get behind that. I can't get behind somebody who's involved in the incident and then who deals with it and the aftermath of the incident in the way that you've done. We obviously were contacted by the father and asked not to speak to you, and there's been a kind of a delay in getting you on the show, and people were wondering, why have we not had you on, considering the high profile nature of the book. What's your take on that now?
Look, I have solicitors in place and different people, and as they've said to me, is they have advised me not to talk about the incident in relation to, it's not fair for me to come on here and to talk about anything that's going on, out of respect to both parties. So,
we have a statement from the family.
Right.
As a family, we have been deeply impacted by Colin McCarron's actions. My daughter has been damaged and affected. We feel that he has never shown any remorse for his actions. In his autobiography and in subsequent newspaper interviews, he was afforded the opportunity to say how remorseful he was for his actions, but he failed to do so. We also want to point out that he used the Irish version of his name on Facebook in contacting our daughter, which must be assumed was to disguise his identity. Due to his well-publicised role in a pornography film, we had to have a test done for HIV and AIDS, and we had to wait a couple of weeks for results. They were the longest few weeks of our lives. In this life, we all have to be responsible and accountable for our actions, no matter what the outcome shall be. We, the family, hope that he will be held accountable for those actions. What's your response, Carl?
No response. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You've no response?
I don't know.
You said in an interview...
Look, all I'm going to say is I was fully investigated by the law of Ireland, and they found me, there was no prosecution. There's a reason why there was no prosecution.
Do you know why the reason there was no prosecution?
Why is that?
Because of the honest mistake defence. Right. Now, the DPP, it's our understanding that the DPP didn't bring charges, as they accepted the defence of honest mistake, but they do also accept that you had sex with this girl.
Right, okay.
That's a fact, is it?
No, it's not a fact. And I'm not commenting on it anymore.
So you didn't have sex with this girl?
There's no comment on it.
Okay,
you know?
So well, we're in a difficult situation here, right? Because everybody wants to support the story of the man who recovers his life, who becomes a taxpayer, who becomes a citizen again, who has this incredible story and narrative. But then you called yourself a victim because right. you had a book launch cancelled.
Right, okay. Come here.
You don't still see yourself as a victim, do you?
No. You see, that was a headline taken up. What I said is I had family friends that were coming from different parts of the world. That I've been through a hell of a lot this last 3 years. A hell of a lot. And for you or anybody, you'll never understand what I've been through. To try and take your own life, to being on the edge of taking your own life and to not, don't tell me you understand. Because if you haven't ever been there, you'll never understand. And, you know...
What does that have to do with the 15-year-old?
Translate the following. J'admire vraiment Johnny Sexton.
I really admire Johnny Sexton.
What's the French for duck?
Canal.
Which is further north, Toulon or Toulouse?
Toulouse.
Fromage is French for what?
Cheese.
Which king was executed at Place de la Concorde during
Louis
the
Louis V.
15th. In French, 14th. In French, 16th. In French, name the colours on the French flag. In French.
Bleu, rouge, blanc.
What? Who was the French president before Hollande?
Pass.
Sarkozy. The grape for Grenache wine is usually what colour?
Rouge.
In what year did Thierry Henry's handball happen?
First Kevin Kilvand, don't know.
2009. Name the French football manager.
Didier Deschamps.
Correct. Name France's largest island.
Ile de Ré.
Corsica.
Oh.
Diddly-doo. I've no idea how many got, but that's pretty good.
Here we go.
That was pretty good. That's ramping up the pressure on Brian O'Driscoll.
We're not beating that.
It's 11-2, so not, you're not done just yet. But you're the Leinster team 40 seconds. Brian O'Driscoll's specialist subject is the career of Amy Huberman. I've no idea why you agreed to this. This just doesn't end well.
11-3.
Are you ready? Okay, this could really be bad. No pressure here.
It's all right, she's in LA, she won't ever know.
We're on Facebook Live.
You can't win here, kid.
What? Are we ready to go? 40 seconds starts now.
No, nice and slowly now. Don't be looking after your Leinster buddy.
What's the name of Amy's character in Striking Out?
Tara.
For what film did Amy win her first IFTA? Rewind.
Pass. Rewind.
Which James Nesbitt show did Amy appear in last year?
Colfi.
Name Amy's first novel.
Hello, Heartbreak.
Amy plays the bride-to-be in which 2013 comedy film?
The Stag.
Correct. Name either the actor who plays Mitch or the actor who plays Richie in Threesome.
Name what?
The actor who plays Mitch or Richie in Threesome.
Pass.
Michael McElhattan, Amy's co-star in Your Bad Self, is a villain in what HBO show?
Pass.
Game of Thrones. Which son of Brendan Gleeson appears alongside Amy in Your Bad Self?
Donal.
Correct. What's the name of Amy's character of Start It's All Finished?
Daisy.
In the clinic. Correct. How many did he get? Oh. How many did he get? Where's Adrian?
That was cruel. That was cruel.
11-7. A clear winner. Munster win. Yay! It's just like 2006 all over again.